Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing you news and other features of interest to the English-speaking Jewish community in Spain and abroad. Last week we asked the trivia question, what is Haketiah? But we decided to tease you a little and not give you the answer then. I'm sure you're curious about it, so this week we're bringing you the second part of our interview with Sally Levy. Last week you heard about his fascinating life and experiences, and this week he's going to talk about Haketiah. Let's talk about Haketiah. Few people have even heard the word. In fact, I said today to somebody that I was going to interview somebody who lives in Canada and who speaks Haketiah, and they thought that it was an Eskimo language. More people have heard of Ladino.
Of course.
But I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what Haketiah is. Is it a variety of Ladino, or how is it different from Ladino?
Okay. The family of languages is called the Judeo-Spanish languages. And there are two main branches. One very huge, prosperous, and solidly established one, and the other one, a tiny little one. The big one, the big brother, is what they called today the Ladino.
Mm-hmm.
Now, about the name Ladino, we have a problem at the academic level. One of the most well-known scholars in that area is Chaim Vidal Sefija. For him, he's a purist. Ladino should be only used, the word Ladino, only to designate the liturgical Spanish that translates directly word from word holy scriptures and liturgical texts.
Mm-hmm.
And that, for example, we read the Haggadah. Very soon we're going to read the Haggadah of Pesach.
Mm-hmm.
And the translation of the Haggadah is exactly in what he calls Ladino.
Uh-huh.
It is written in Hebrew letters, but if you read them, you will find that you are speaking Spanish, or ancient Spanish.
Yeah.
For him, this is the only definition of Ladino. Now, the language that is spoken in the Balkanic region, for example, in Israel, in Sarajevo, in Salonika, in Istanbul, etc., this should be called Judeo-Spanish, and sometimes among them they call it Judesmo.
Mm-hmm.
We are not scholars, and Grasse people, how do you call that? Anybody, Monsieur Tout le Monde, started using the word Ladino to designate any Spanish, Judeo-Spanish language.
Yes.
So they ignored what Chaim Vidal Sefija said, and they said, Yehoram Gaon sings in Ladino.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that happens a lot. I mean, I think very often that there's a difference between what the academics say and what the people say.
Okay. But now this the Ladino means Judeo-Spanish from that is spoken and written in the Balkanic regions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is Ladino.
Uh-huh.
Today, there is Ladino, la Autoridad Nacional del Ladino, that exists in Israel, and the founder and the person who is responsible for that Autoridad Nacional is Moshe Shaul.
Uh-huh.
He has sort of magazine that is Aki Yerushalayim, and he is very, very active in the radio broadcasting. He's an authority. And for him, despite what Chaim Vidal Sefija says, this is Ladino. What they speak and write is Ladino.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the poor little branch of Judeo-Spanish, the other one, is Haketiah.
Mm-hmm.
Haketiah is very little. Why? Because it has never been written.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's one of the main differences.
No, what about differences in the spoken language?
In the spoken languages?
Yeah.
Well, Ladino, today's Ladino, is a mixture of ancient Spanish from the 15th century, from the expulsion, 1492, plus words that, depending on the country, are from the Turkish language, the Greek language, and later on, when France was trying to establish a powerful cultural influence in the region, French, also some Italian, and a few words of Portuguese, and
mm-hmm.
of course Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
So the combination of all these languages made the Ladino that is today used in those regions and in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, the components of Haketia are also the ancient Spanish from the end of the Middle Age, beginning of the 16th century, number one, the Hebrew language, and the words that are most frequent in Haketia have an Arabic origin.
Uh-huh. I was going to ask you about that,
These are the three main components, because there are little touches here and there. Very funny, for example, the only word I know is from English in Haketia is tipad. And we write it, T-I-P-A-D, and we pronounce tipad. And this is teapot.
Oh, that's funny.
This is teapot.
Uh-huh. Where is Haketia spoken? Was it only in Morocco or in other North African countries too?
No, only in Morocco.
Uh-huh.
Only Morocco. But in Oran, in Algeria,
uh-huh,
a big city, there was a community that emigrated from Tetouan,
uh-huh,
for a reason also of persecutions, etc., and went to settle in Oran. And
uh-huh,
they kept a few words in Haketia and songs also.
Is it still spoken anywhere?
Unfortunately not. We are a bunch of people now, and we try to speak when we want. But you see, what is most frequent now among Tangierians and Tetouanese is to have a conversation in loose Spanish, standard Spanish, but
mm-hmm,
very loose, and from time to time insert a word or two or a phrase in Haketia.
You've said that Haketia is used for humor, and I was wondering how. Is that just sort of at a grassroots level, people bantering and joking around, or for theater, for Purim plays?
Excellent question. You see, the fact that no scholar, because we had scholars in Morocco, in northern Morocco, like everywhere
mm-hmm
else, the Jewish scholars in northern Morocco never, ever wrote in Haketia. That's why there is no literary work written in Haketia. Well, humbly I have to say that I think I am the only one who dared write a literary work in Haketia. I published in 1992 for the 500th anniversary of the expulsion. I published a little book titled Yahasra, and it's a book of poetry and short plays
mm-hmm
in Haketia. I don't know about any other written work in the language. About the language, lots of them. But fiction, literary fiction in Haketia, I never heard about any publications of that sort. So why is that language only a language that we use to express emotions and to laugh, to curse, or to bless? Because it's a sub-language.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, the scholars, our scholars, never wrote in Haketia because they were so close culturally and geographically, so close to the mainstream of official Spanish
mm-hmm
across the Strait of Gibraltar. They continued writing in most sophisticated and cultured language, Spanish official language of their time.
You know, I think that almost can draw a parallel with Yiddish, because the German Jews didn't speak Yiddish.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only the Jews who lived in countries where they spoke other languages that Yiddish flourished. That's interesting.
Yes, but they made the effort then to elevate the Yiddish and to make of Yiddish the material from which great literary works can be created.
Yeah.
Isaac Bashevis Singer, for example.
Yeah, that's true. So, you have also said that since there wasn't any literature, Haketia was considered kind of low class, and that the kids were discouraged from speaking it.
Yes, that's
who true. Discouraged the kids?
The parents.
The parents who spoke it.
Yes, the parents who spoke it said, no hables Haketia, no hables así, que eso se dice mal, no se dice esa forma, dilo en español, bien como la gente.
So in other words, the parents from whom you learned Haketia discouraged you from using it.
Yes, I never thought of this. But yes, they spoke among themselves when they were relaxed, when they used to speak a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and also we knew people who only spoke Haketia.
But it was close enough to Spanish so that it couldn't be used, let's say, as a secret language so that the children shouldn't understand.
No.
Uh-huh.
Very close to the main language, yes.
Yeah. Do you still speak it with anyone?
Well, as I said, I speak Hakatia, but not as a stream of in a stream of the oral speech. I speak Spanish, but and instinctively I put one phrase, one sentence, one expression of Hakatia.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is that I create situations and dialogues and things, and I broadcast them in Radio Sefarad, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yes.
I go to where there is a sort of gathering of people who understand Hakatia once a month in a congregation here, and what I broadcast in Radio Sefarad, I read to them,
mm-hmm.
and we have fun.
Is there any kind of a revival movement?
No.
That's too bad.
No. Well, the fact that you and I are speaking about Hakatia now could be considered as a tiny little beginning of a revival, but no illusion. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But thanks to Radio Sefarad, Hakatia is broadcasted. It exists.
Mm-hmm.
It exists. And there is a very respected lady in Madrid, Estela Flalo, who published Lo que yo sé in Hakatia with a CD, and there was a couple of people also who had a series of cassette. I think it was this lady and another Mozi. I don't remember. I don't have the cassette, but they did a great job. It was circulating among the people. I don't know. But revival, I don't think so.
It's not being taught anywhere.
No.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Is anyone studying it the way they're studying other endangered languages? I mean, I know that some of the Native American languages, which have one or two speakers left and they're really dying out, are being studied kind of as endangered languages, like endangered species. Do you know if anybody's doing that with Hakatia?
There are scholars who are very deeply interested in Hakatia. I already cited Alegría Bendayán de Bendelac, the teacher. I think she's still teaching French literature in Boston University. She wrote Frajas. She wrote something, Los Muestros, also the title of a publication in Belgium, in Brussels. We have that just very recently, another dictionary was published, and the author is Zichronori Vracha, Professor Ben Arosh. And they gathered his notes, and they already published a Hakatia dictionary. Professor Bentolila, Jacob Bentolila, in the University of Negev, in studying methodically and carefully the Hebrew roots of the Hakatia language.
Uh-huh. I'm afraid that we're going to have to end it here because they're telling me that we're running out of time. I really appreciate your giving me this interview, and I'm looking forward to meeting you the next time you come to visit us.
I'll be delighted.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. We'll leave you now with another song from the CD that we heard last week, Me Vaya Capará, by the group Gerineldo. This is Solly Levy singing Los Tres Padres de Israel, The Three Patriarchs of Israel, which is a song traditionally sung at weddings. See you next week. Hagáis como
circuncidó. Hagáis como Isaac, nuestro querido, que dio su garganta al degollidor. Hagáis como Isaac, nuestro querido, que dio su garganta al degollidor. Hagáis como Jacob, nuestro querido, que de él nacieron las doce tribus. Hagáis como Jacob, querido, que de él nacieron las doce tribus, Anna, Adonai, Hoshi'anna, nuestros pecados se lajana, Eliyahu me va a serna, que han sido libres.